show in the road. Okay, first item is approval of agenda. May I have a motion, please?
I get moved that we approve the agenda as is.
I second.
Okay, any questions? All in favor, signify by raising your hand. 4-0. Okay, action items. Approval of the August 3rd minutes. They were online, so I assumed you read them, or tried to anyhow. Are there any questions on the minutes of the last meeting? Is there a motion?
So moved.
I'm going to let you second because I wasn't here.
Oh, I second.
Okay, there's been a motion and second. All in favor, signify by raising your hand. 4-0. Okay, item 2 on the action items is an amendment for fiscal year 2018-2021 Transportation Improvement Program.
Okay, I'll do the presentation over here. This is a request from Georgia Department of Transportation. They moved the State Route 144 widening project in Richmond Hill and Bryan County into fiscal year 2022, because our current TIP is from fiscal year 2018 to 2021. So basically, it's deleting the project from our current TIP. The reason that the GLAC gave out and listed over here, it says because of the congressional district balancing. So we have 12 congressional districts. So they have to make sure like each district has the certain amount of money based on population or whatever formula they have. So unfortunately, they don't think they have the money for our area because this project was programmed with Z240 funds. That's a statewide anywhere funds. And GDOT did. Okay, and GDOT actually tried to find like state funds for it, and they told me they were not successful. So besides moving the project into fiscal 22, and also there's some minor cost increase. So if you can see, this is a current one, construction phase, about $12 million. It's increased by about $1 million. And the utility phase, current is 810, and it's increased by about like $50,000. So, but I know Bryan County and Richmond Hill wouldn't be happy about it, but GDOT said they already moved the money out from this project. So we just have to process it. That's it.
Sounds perfunctory when you say it that way.
Yeah, that's not a happy thing. I live right on 144.
All the way out to Long Range.
And it's they've already left us in a mess. You know, with the acquisition of land along both sides, what they've done is they've required everybody to move things that were on those both sides out. And in some cases, lights were removed. So they decreased the number of lights. So for example, right in front of my subdivision where we had a light, so we could turn in and find it at night, there's no light there anymore because it had to be removed. This is a mess.
Yeah, in the fiscal 2015 to 2018 TIP, this project, the construction of this was programmed in fiscal 2017, which we already passed because we started our fiscal year 2018 on July the 1st. At that time, it was in 2017. And then it was pushed to 2018. The reason given was that when the environmental document has like 2 years the validation period. So after 2 years, it expires. So they have to revalidate that environmental document. At that time, it was pushed to 2018 because they said, okay, it's past 2 year deadline. And they have to reevaluate it, and they expected the reevaluation period would be about 6 months. So this project was would still be available for the letting for construction in fiscal 2018, but now suddenly this congressional district thing appears. We just don't know, it's come from nowhere, but they already moved the money out of this project. I don't know which project is allocated the funds to, because it's not really not much. It's about like $13-14 million, but they already moved it out, so.
Question, you talked about the environmental program. Who's responsible for scheduling and completing an environmental study for a project?
This project, I believe GDOT is managing this project. Okay. So the GDOT, either GDOT staff or GDOT hire a consultant to do the environmental process. And then they have to submit, I think this project, I don't think it will be a year, as it might be environmental assessment document. So they have to submit it to Federal Highway Administration, mm-hmm. who then approves it.
So it was GDOT ball was dropped, huh?
Yeah, GDOT studies it and it submits the result to the Federal Highway Administration. And if every survey is satisfied, they approve the document. But after 2 years, GDOT have to revalidate the document. So. But now I really don't know what happened. I just I'm trying to figure out whether they can find state funds for it. And then after several days that I was told they couldn't find the state funds for this project.
That there was no money for our area. Why was that? Why is that?
Our congressional district includes several counties. I think Chatham, I think we have 10 counties, probably the coastal area. I have to see the congressional district balance map. Because it changes. So it just every congressional district have a commissioner in our area. Our commissioner is Ann Purcell. So when GDOT holds their board meeting and all of the commissioners and they negotiate with each other about how much money they will get for their district.
You were unrepresented, you're saying?
Our representative is Ann Purcell.
Well, you said what we represented at the meeting.
Huh?
We're represented at that meeting.
Yeah. She's representing our district. We are in District 1. So she is representing our district on the GDOT board.
I think the state strives to balance things out among the districts so that they're not. They probably do it proportional to population a little bit, of course, but I think they have some kind of rule about how they divide it up.
Yeah, we don't have that formula. We really don't know how they distribute the money. We just know that every year, before they give us a project list for development of the TIP, they always do this congressional district balancing, but we really don't know what is going on.
Each congressional district is roughly the same amount of population.
Yes.
And then every legislator in that district elects one member to that highway board. So that's how they get their seat.
Oh.
Happens to be that Ann was a prior legislator and knew the people. So she was their choice.
Okay. Yeah, I just don't know how they allocate the funds into each district, but I know they have this kind of a balancing, but mm-hmm. what kind of balance, like based on population or based on highway mileage, we really don't know.
Well, that's what that one vote from District 1 is on there, to fight for their share.
Well, if she lives
I'm
in
sure it's given
I think she
will
too. Fight for this project, but she lives in Abbey. Yeah.
What action do you want from us?
Just endorsement.
Ma'am?
Endorsement.
Okay, do I hear a motion to endorse this?
I would move to be endorsed.
It's going to be
tough.
I second.
Okay. Is there any more discussions?
Just that we really don't know whether Ann would have voted for or not. You know, we know where she lives, but.
Yeah.
That was just a sidebar.
Taking the vote to endorse, all in favor signify by aye. Or raise your hand. All in opposed.
One.
Passes 3-1. Okay, item 3 is amendment to fiscal year 2018 unified planning work program.
Okay, I don't remember, did we talk about this?
Get into the microphone, please.
Okay. Yeah, I don't remember whether we presented this to you at the last meeting, but the Savannah Airport Commission and Chatham County proposed to use some discretionary highway planning funds for their studies. So we actually, on behalf of them, we applied for the funds and we got awarded for those funds. But in order to spend that funds, we have to program the money and the project into the UPWP. So we're doing the UPWP amendment. These two studies, one of them is Interstate I-16 at Newton Neck Road at / Jimmy DeLoach Parkway interchange study. This will be sponsored by Chatham County because they will provide the local match. And the study will need about $400,000. So the awarded amount for the discretionary planning funds is $320,000. And Chatham County will come with the $80,000. Another study is Airport Commission is for Interstate I-95 at Airways Avenue Pullo Parkway interchange study. And this study also will need about $400,000. We got $320,000 from the GDOT for the discretionary funds, and the Airport Commission will come up with the match, which is $80,000. So we just need to amend this $800,000 into the UPWP, so over here under strategic transportation studies. So the study results might, if we have the results, and that will help us to probably program some projects in future long-range transportation plan and the TIP.
I have two questions. On that 16 and Jimmy DeLoach, is that the highway 80 to 16 extension that they're working on?
No. That's currently they're working on the I-16 at US 80. So I-16 yeah. at US 80 will have a new interchange, mm-hmm. and then there will be a realignment of the Bloomingdale Road.
Yeah.
So from US 80 to I-16, you will have this new roadway.
Mm-hmm.
But where the I-16 and this new roadway connects, there's another interchange that needs to be studied. That's the new interchange. This would be the I-16 at the new roadway.
Well, just to further clarify, the extension of Jimmy DeLoach is going to, if we do nothing else, the extension of Jimmy DeLoach would tie into the existing Bloomingdale Road interchange, which would not be able to handle the traffic. It was not included in the Jimmy DeLoach project.
So this is the 80 DeLoach interchange.
No, this is the I-16.
This is I-16.
16.
Yeah, this is the I-16.
And future Jimmy DeLoach Parkway,
yes.
Which is at Bloomingdale Road. There's an interchange there right now.
Yeah, they could rework that one then, huh?
Right, when the county was developing the Jimmy DeLoach, I forget what they call it, phase two or the extension, from US 80 down to I-16, they did not include the interchange in the project. This would do the traffic analysis that would really form the bulk of an interchange modification report that would be needed to approve the interchange to handle the traffic for Jimmy DeLoach Parkway.
Okay. Isn't there a separate project going to be for a flyover on DeLoach at 80?
Yes, there is a
project for that.
Yes, yeah.
Yes, that is that project has already been let, so it will be under construction pretty soon.
Okay. That's a separate one from the 80 to 16 road, though.
Yeah, there's basically three projects.
Yeah,
this is the third one now.
Yeah, this is the third one, which hasn't even started yet, so we just need to do this study to find out what we want to do over there.
What does airport want to do with $400,000 for the, what project are they talking about?
The I-95 at Pooler Parkway.
That's where?
I-95 at Airways Avenue, Pooler Parkway.
Yeah, but doing what?
They would just change it where maybe there's...
Well, it's the same thing. The purpose of the study is to determine what the improvements will be to the interchange. Because it's on the interstate system, you have to complete an interchange modification report. which looks at all of that in order to get the federal funds and to make the change to the interstate system.
Yeah,
so this is the first step to enable them to make the kind of long-range improvements they need to.
Yeah, we don't know what will be going on over there, so this is the study to find out.
Oh.
Right, well, I mean...
They just reworked that interchange.
That's the interim modification.
Mm-hmm.
So that's not a long-term fix. So this would be trying to find solutions about the long-term. So
this would be a bigger redesign. There's lots of different designs for interchanges that require fewer stops, less delay.
Yeah. I understand that the basic need is to be able to get cars off of 95
right.
quickest.
Well, and not back up off of 95.
Yeah, currently I think GDOT only did the two left turn lanes northbound, and then I think they added another right turn lane to the airport. Yeah, so but those are interim fix.
Mm-hmm.
So they probably, if we find out they need to do another like interchange revamp or something like rebuild interchange, so this will come from this study. So we'll know. But we already know that the interim fix is just not long term. So, and the traffic is still backed up over there.
I went to an airport commission meeting one time out there. They were talking about having a northbound going from 95 straight over to the airport.
We
forget
don't know.
All about Airport Boulevard.
Yeah, we just don't know. So I think this will be the first step to find out what we can do about it. So.
And the motion is...
And also for endorsement of amending these two studies into the PL 4.3. Strategic transportation studies with the amounts about $800,000.
I motion that we give the endorsement to ask for.
Okay, is there a second?
I second it.
Is there any more questions? All in favor of the motion, raise your hand.
Thank you.
Pass 4-0. Okay, the next one is endorsement of the 2018 meeting schedule. You received the ball out there.
Right, we provided these tonight. We were working on this week. So your column is the third column, Citizens Advisory Committee. We're proposing it still be at 5:30 p.m., but we're suggesting it go to the third Thursday instead of the first Thursday. Your meetings used to be on the third Thursday.
Yeah, so I was thinking when I first started here was the third one.
Right, but now the meeting that occurs, like that TCC meeting occurs that day, but that one has been a couple years ago, it has been moved up to start at 2 p.m. instead of 3 p.m. And so we don't think we'll have the problem where they would keep us occupied in there too late sometimes, like we used to have when you were following them before. And also, I think back then, yours started at 5.
That's correct.
So we think this will work out. Like, one reason we want to change it back to that is because, like tonight, there are certain months when that historic Site and Monument Commission meets in here on the same day that you do, but at 4 p.m., which is it can be likely that they are still going when you arrive, like tonight.
So we're going to, with this new, we will meet then the Thursday before the board meets on the following Wednesday?
Yeah, and we'll be able to give you the latest information about whatever we're talking about. Like right now, you're meeting 2 weeks before the rest of the committee. Sometimes we just have an idea of what an amendment's going to be, but we don't have all the information.
Okay. Is there any questions, gentlemen? Do I hear a motion to approve the 2018 committee meeting schedule?
So moved.
I second.
Any questions? All in favor of the motion signify, raise your hand. Thank you.
I have a question.
On what?
It's one thing for us to meet. The question is how many of us are here, and I'm wondering, you know, I know how the group is defined, but I'm wondering why is it that we aren't more people turning out to come to these meetings?
Because
we said this is a quorum, okay? I've seen bigger quorums here, and if you actually look at the numbers, you could argue, well, this is really not a quorum. But I'm not with that argument. My point is that there should be more bodies here.
I have a theory.
Well, what's your theory?
A city official appoints someone to represent them here. That person slacks off, and the city is not aware, and they just don't go. They don't replace that person.
Well, I thought we asked that question before, as I did months ago, and I thought I heard the response that you alert the government. Appointing bodies that rub your attendance or not. So the question is, if they are being told by you some people are not showing up, what, if anything, they tell you why, you know, they have not done something, or you send out letters or whatever. Do they explain to you why they haven't done anything? Or you just tell them, it's one way. You tell them whether they're coming or not, either they come or they don't come, but the people who you inform don't tell feedback, come back to you with explanations of why they are not doing more or replacing people or whatever. Do they feel necessary to justify to you or talk to you about why they are pressuring people or what?
They haven't told us that they're not going to. They just haven't done it.
Yeah.
Okay, so please put the dates on your calendar. Well, it'll be official after the MPO approves it in about 3 weeks.
Next week?
Not next week. It's like 3 weeks away.
You got on my calendar.
Really that far away?
Yeah,
so at the end of the month, we will send out the final draft to all the committees, and then you can put it on the calendar for next year.
Okay. Status report, update of the development of the 2045 Metropolitan Transportation Plan.
Okay, the Metropolitan Transportation Plan is the long-range plan, and we last adopted a long-range plan in August of 2014. So we have to do this at least every 5 years, and the plan looks out 20 years at least. So the deadline for the next adoption is August 2019. Well, we do start this about 2 years ahead of time because there's a travel demand modeling process that takes a good bit of time for the state and the locals to work through. They do several different iterations of the system. So that takes up some time. But so the next few months, you probably won't be aware of what's going on behind the scenes. What's already been done is the socioeconomic data is starting to be developed. We had comprehensive plan staff in here in August offering to do an exercise. And they've done that with some other groups. And so they're taking that information right now and they're coming up with projection for the population and how it will be distributed throughout our planning area in 2045. And so that's expected to be finished up in about March. And meanwhile, also for the modeling process, we provide the state with a list of projects that have recently been finished, like from 2010 to 2015. And they make sure that their map that they put all this trip demand on is up to date. And so then they create a view of what traffic is gonna look like they produce a view of what it looks like right now. And then they use the future socioeconomic data to project demand on a system for 2045. And then we start adding more things to the network map, like the projects that are in the pipeline. And then finally, the model has all the stuff in our existing long-range plan.
and we see what that looks like. And if there are still problems, you might have to come up with projects to solve those problems. But then you look at how much it all costs. And at that point, you might have to decide which part, you know, where the congestion might have to just stay there for a while if we don't have enough money to cover all the projects that we want to do. But modeling is just part of it. That's all about congestion. There's also, we'll be developing some goals and objectives this winter, and we'll include you on that. There can be other goals for the transportation plan besides just relieving congestion, quality of life kind of goals, and that kind of thing. So, and also something new for all the MPOs after MAP 21 and the FAST Act, those federal authorizations, are that we will now incorporate performance-based planning into the long-range plan. So this means that the federal government said what measures, how we're going to measure certain kinds of things. That they have some goals like safety and asset management and bridges and pavement, and that kind of thing. And then the states are right now setting targets within those measures. The state gets to pick out what the targets are going to be. And then the MPOs can pick targets too. They will pick targets. They can be the same as the state's targets, or they can be something else. So in February, the first of those measures, we are due to pick targets for safety. The state has picked their target for safety in August. And they'll, someone's coming to the MPO board meeting to talk about that, if you can make it, if you're interested. But we'll explain more about that in February for you. So that's also, once we have those targets in our plan, we'll have to see how we're meeting them over the years. That's the idea of the performance-based planning. So this whole process, you know, there's goals and objectives, there's the travel demand model, performance-based planning. So you'll be hearing about this, you know, as you come to meetings over the next couple years, almost. We aim to have the plan adopted around July or early August of 2019. GDOT sets this modeling schedule, and we're trying to, right now, negotiate with them how it fits into our meeting schedule and that kind of thing. So I'm not showing you a precise schedule for our plan development tonight, but that will be ready soon. Are there any questions about the long-range plan?
This is a long-range plan looking out to 2045?
Right.
I thought it was only a 20-year look forward each time.
Well, we have to look forward to at least 20 years, and we usually go over that so that, you know, if...
What is that? So that throughout the life of the plan, when you get to the end of the plan cycle, you have a minimum of 20 years as well.
Oh, so there's always 20 years... A minimum of 20 years that are looked ahead. I see. Okay. It's a running 20 years. Is this the idea?
It's not a running 20 years so much as the federal planning regs require us to have a 20-year planning horizon. To be particularly conservative, we decided to interpret that years ago as meaning we try to always maintain a minimum of 20 years by the end of any planning cycle. So at the adoption year, we're at 25 years plus normally. And that's been that way for over 10 years.
Okay. Thank you.
Because as we have learned, our federal counterparts have different interpretations of the rules, and we try to protect ourselves and preserve our interests as best we can. So we've had a lot of reinterpretations coming at us lately, so we try to stay safe.
Yeah, I mean, if in 2019 we adopted a plan that looked out to 2039, then the next year, in 2020, our plan would no longer look out 20 years, but our plan would not be 5 years old yet, so we wouldn't want to have to re-adopt it.
I'm looking forward to that 2045 plan being implemented. I'll be 112, but...
We're going to be able to see the future in everything.
Any more questions? Okay, the next item is the award of discretionary highway planning funds.
You want to talk about this?
Sure. Actually, WICODA stole the thunder because the awards were, we already talked about the awards in terms of the Unified Planning Work Program amendments. 2 months ago, the MPO board approved actually three new funding requests, and there were two standing requests left over from last spring. So two of those, the two that WICODA discussed, the I-16 Jimmy Village Parkway interchange study and the airport interchange study were funded. That amounted to $320,000 federal on each project, with the airport and Chatham County putting up the local match in the amount of $80,000 apiece. So,
this is after the fact, isn't it?
It was worth my drive to Atlanta.
That was just an excuse to go up there.
I don't look forward to the drive, to be honest. I had to drive up on Sunday, to take my Sunday afternoon to drive up there. Then I had to be at the GDOT offices just as early as, actually earlier than I have to be here. And then we met till about 2 or 3 in the afternoon. I got home around 7:30, so I mean, it was not a lot of glamour in that trip, I can tell you.
Just think of all that time and a half. I'm kidding.
No, I mean, what it really does, they tend to have meetings either on Mondays or Fridays. What it really does is take a piece of my weekend to sit in traffic on I-75. No fun.
Where is GDOT location in Atlanta?
They are at...
just roughly.
It's right off of the connector at... I'm trying to think of the name of the street, Stephanie.
Peachtree Street.
Well, between Peachtree and the connector.
It's like the Varsity is like right across the street.
It's just across the street from the Varsity. It's like a 20-story building that used to be an insurance company or something.
Yeah, okay.
If you know where the old Stouffer Hotel that's now the Crown Plaza that Elvis stayed at many years ago.
Near the Varsity.
It has a sky bridge to the Elvis Hotel. But don't stay there. It's not that nice.
Maybe Georgian Terrace.
Yeah, Georgian Terrace is close by. The Fox is close by. I stayed at the...
Near Ponce de Leon and Beach Street.
I stayed at the Indigo, but like the bathroom was about the size of a closet in my house at home, so I don't recommend it for that reason. But.
Okay.
And in 10 minutes... Three different sets of Crazy Street People accost you wanting things like your plastic bag from CVS. But yeah, have to go to Atlanta.
Okay, agency reports, Ben. Other business.
I wanted to maybe just go back to that point about the low attendance, because that kind of puts pressure on us. We have to show up in order to make it, well, not that I mind, I mean, I like being here, but if, you know, things happen, if one of us just has a legitimate excuse, we can't conduct business. I just wonder if there's some push we can make to the local towns and cities to remind them that it's a privilege to represent their town here.
At the board meeting every 2 months, I've brought it up. And all of the mayors or city managers are there, and the comment they have, well, I try. Nobody wants to do it. I don't know how hard they try, but...
I can't believe that they can't. There's not enough interested citizens in an entire city or town that you can't find one that's willing to do it for a year, assign it only on a year's basis.
Some people,
five meetings? Yeah. I mean, is that a lot to ask of anybody?
Some people have accepted the appointment, come down here and find out what it is, and you never see them again.
Maybe they should be on the monument. They want excitement. I'm sorry,
That's fine.
It's frustrating.
I agree with you.
We also have a lot of vacancies. I mean, yeah.
I think the only way that you're going to chip away at that would be if somehow the NPO would elect to make its decision-making contingent on a meaningful output of this, you know, reasonably appointed committee. And by reasonably appointed, I mean, say, you know, you don't have a bunch of vacant seats all the time. That's just not there. I mean, it's an advisory committee, and it doesn't bind them to anything, but yet their approvals have to happen for the money to flow, so.
Yeah, I can't. Maybe I'm being too optimistic.
If they couldn't do that without your input, they would find a way to make sure that you had a full board.
Yeah. I think it's more of a lack of communication than interest. I think general citizenry knew that this opportunity was here, I can't imagine that.
And I know when I got my appointment, Brady was in office, and I had sent her a letter. I said, you know, if I can be some help to you and your, let me know. And she sent me a comment that what are I interested in this, and I didn't know what this was. And I said, sure, so I came down here. First few meetings I came down here, I went home, my wife said, what's about it? I don't have the slightest idea.
Yeah.
Anyhow.
Let me ask one other question along these same lines. Are there any funds available for this committee, for example, to hold public meetings in our own towns? We'd have to notify townspeople, but, you know, it would be nice if we could send a letter out to our own townspeople and tell them what's going on and what this committee does and what kind of input they might have to the MPO board. I mean, I know right now, I'll tell you, this whole 144 widening is not going to go away. It's going to get very, very hot very soon. Because there's a lot of people, you know, they're building another 2,500 homes down at the end of 144. They can't handle the traffic they've got on there now. It's a mess. Try to get into Richmond Hill on 144 at 6 o'clock at night and try to get, I can't even turn out of my subdivision if I'm trying to get out at 8:30 in the morning or 9 o'clock in the morning. You can't get out. It's ridiculous. It's bumper to bumper to bumper traffic. It's ridiculous. It's a little town.
Well, I think the answer to your question is it depends. And which is quite true because it depends on how much money was needed and what the money was for to hold a meeting. And, you know, there might be, you know, if it was for something like a secure meeting room where the CAC was had decided to have some kind of public forum, you know, that might be something that we could do. Do you want to buy everybody refreshments? Absolutely not. There are restrictions on our money, and we don't have that much, but there might be some things we
could do. I think it's more of an advertising problem that I would have. In other words, I want to let the townspeople know that they have a place that they can go to, and they can give input to an individual, at least maybe more, because I'm sure we could get the board member of the MPO to be there too.
We can get them here.
But you still have to notify them. So other than corralling them one house at a time, it's a very difficult thing to do.
Does your city or county have a publication?
I guess we could use Richmond Hill Reflections, maybe.
Works. put a small article in. I mean, it's a start.
Yeah, it is a start. Okay.
Well,
yeah, there are things you can do.
That might stir some interest.
Because we can use our city facilities for a meeting. That's not a problem. I don't have to drag them all to Savannah to do that. And we have pretty good water there, so that'll be their refreshments. But literally, it's to provide the forum, because we're not getting the message out. We're just not doing it.
I'm not trying to plant a bug, but an extreme version of something like that happened here many years ago, where actually one or more neighborhood associations decided to call their own project meeting on about Duran Avenue. They kept it pretty hush-hush till they had everything formed, but they were in contact with who they wanted to be, including the media. They had the entire thing set up, and then they invited us and other local staff sort of at the last minute to this thing that they already had organized. That brought some pressure to bear and attention. You know, I don't know to what extent it was constructive attention, because it really kind of threw a project or a planning study that was just kind of creeping along into a sort of a tailspin and a four-year delay. But, you know, if you want to get attention to something, I would say maybe try to go through the neighborhood associations. Talk to them. You know, you can talk to your local media. You can call your board member. You know, see if she would be willing to come to a meeting. Don't piss off your board member. Make sure she's not one of your last-minute people.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, I would get her on. Try to get her on board, and you know, she is probably aware of the problem, but she might be willing to come down and talk to folks about that. I mean, people on the transportation board want to have good stories to tell the public, not negative news.
Mm-hmm. The squeaking wheel gets the attention. Yeah. Be a squeaking wheel.
The other thing, I was sitting here thinking, for instance, I live right next to the pool. If I went to a town council meeting during the public comment period, I could just make a plea. Because those people that are sitting there are interested in what's going on in their city. If I recommended to the mayor and council, you're missing a great opportunity. If anybody else in the audience would like to be on that committee, just go see Mayor so-and-so. I'm sure he'd be considering it.
Well, you've got a mayor and city council election coming up. I'm sure some of those office holders are going to have forums to gather support. Be there. Ask a question.
But I still think that the communication breakdown is at the leadership level. It's not getting down to the people. That's my point.
I agree.
Or I'll say, gosh, in cities and towns of thousands and thousands of people, you can't find half a dozen that would be interested to find out about this position.
Yeah, when we restructured the NPO, our director talked to each of the municipalities. It's hard to keep going up to elect officials and getting on the calendar.
We just don't have the issues like the committee that was meeting here before us. We don't pay any pictures on walls. They almost have bloodletting this afternoon.
Yeah, and our discussion points are on things so out in the future that we may not hold the interest of most.
Okay, is there... next item is public comments. Any public comments? That's closed. Announcements. Our next meeting is December 7th, 5:30, here. Is there any questions, comments, gentlemen? Becker?
Didn't we used to have a section where the staff would respond to questions asked of them?
I think I jumped over it.
I think you said that's the committee report. Report and old things, but
other business.
You could ask them. I mean, you would take questions before, you know, a week before, whatever we had it, then come back with answers. Are we asking you questions or
go ahead? Just
no answers?
Oh, yeah, it's just that text is not actually on the agenda, but the agency reports section of the agenda is for that. It's So the way we're handling agency reports now, since the meeting's in the evening, it's hard to get people from agencies to come here. If you tell us your question in advance, we can try to find out the answer from those agencies, and we'll tell you. So that was what the text used to say. It's just that it's not on this agenda. It's been switched to the new agenda system.
Do you have any specific questions regarding a specific project?
No, but I'm thinking.
You just want the opportunity.
Yeah, I may have one. No, I have not an answer to the question.
Yeah, you can still do that.
Okay.
Yeah, we'll find the answers for you. So.
Is there any more questions? Meeting's adjourned.
Don't you need a motion to adjourn?
No.
You don't need a motion to adjourn?
No.
Sometimes people do that.
I did.
Robert's Rules of Order.